सहगना रघुनाथानितं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्रीराधा कृष्ण पादं सहगना ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितं नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदन्नाय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरतिष्ठे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंध जगतपते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राध वृंदावनेश्वरी विशभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिय जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओं नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओं नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओं नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृतं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय मुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अवद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नष्टक्रियं सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 16 प्रेज ऑफ किंग पिथु बाय द प्रोफेशनल रिसाइटर्स विल बी डिस्कसिंग टुडे टेक्स्ट 9 एंड टेक्स्ट 10 Text 10 is on the board, so we'll be reading text 9 first, and then we'll read together text 10. Text 9. Apayati asaulokan vadanamrita murtina sanukraha avalokena visada smita charuna. Translation. This king, Prithu Maharaj, by virtue of his affectionate glances, and beautiful moon-like face, which is always smiling with great affection for the citizens, will enhance everyone's peaceful life. So we'll read together text 10. Abhakta Bhatmaisa Nigura Kaya Gambhira Veda Upagupta Vitya अनंत महात्मा गुणैक धामा पृथु प्रचेता इव संवितात्मा अव्यक्तवत्मैश निगूढकार्य गंभीर वेदा उपगुप्त वित्तः अनंत महात्मा गुणैक धामा पृथु प्रचेता इव संवितात्मा अव्यक्तवत्मैश निगूढकार्य गंभीर वेदा उपगुप्त वित्तः अनंत महात्मा गुणैक धामा पृथु प्रचेता इव संवितात्मा तजिस unmanifested. Vatma, his policies. Esaha, this king. Niguraha, confidential. Karya, his activities. Gambhira, grave, secret. Vedaha, his accomplishing. Upagupta, secretly kept. Vittaha, his treasury. Ananta, unlimited. Mahatmya, of glories. Guna, of good qualities. Ekadhama, the only reservoir. Pituhu, King Pithu. Prochataha, Varuna, the king of the seas. Eva, like. Sangvitta, covered. Atma, self. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The reciters continued, no one will be able to understand the policies the king will follow. His activities will also be very confidential, and it will not be possible for anyone to know how he will make every activity successful. His treasury will always remain unknown to everyone. He will be the reservoir of unlimited glories and good qualities, and his positions will be maintained and covered just as Varuna, the deity of the seas, is covered all around by water. Please repeat. The reciters continued. No one will be able to understand the policies the king will follow. His activities will also be very confidential, and it will not be possible for anyone to know how he will make every activity successful. His treasury will always remain unknown to everyone. He will be the reservoir of unlimited glories and good qualities, and his position will be maintained and covered just as Varuna, the deity of the seas, is covered all around by water. Purport. There is a predominating deity for all the material elements, and Varuna or Pracheta is the predominating deity of the seas and the oceans. From outward appearances, the seas and oceans are devoid of life. But a person acquainted with the sea knows that within the water exist many varieties of life. The king of that underwater kingdom is Varuna. Just as no one can understand what is going on beneath the sea, no one could understand what policy King Prithu was following to make everything successful. Indeed, King Prithu's path of diplomacy was very grave. His success was made possible because he was a reservoir of unlimited glorified qualities. The word Upagupta Vittaha is very significant in this verse. It indicates that no one would know the extent of the riches King Prithu would confidentially keep. The idea is that not only the king but everyone should keep his hard-earned money confidentially and secretly, so that in due course of time the money can be spent for good practical purposes. In Kali Yuga, however, the king or government has no well-protected treasury. The only means of circulation is currency notes made of paper. Thus, in times of distress, the government artificially inflates the currency by simply printing papers, and this artificially raises the price of commodities, and the general condition of the citizens become very precarious. Thus, keeping one's money very secretly is an old practice, and for we find this practice present even during the reign of Maharaj Prithu. Just as the king has a right to keep his treasury confidential and secret, the people should also keep their individual earnings as a secret. There is no fault in such dealings. The main point is that everyone should be trained in the system of Varnasram Dharma, so that money is spent only for good causes and nothing else. मुखम करति वाचलम पंगुलते गिरी जत्पातम हम वंदे श्रीकृष्णतरिण परमानंद माधव श्री चैतनेश्वर भम विष्णुपराय विष्णु सो वी आर डिस्कसिंग प्रेज ऑफ किंग पिथु बाय द प्रोफेशनल रिसाइटर्स सो टुडेस वर्क्स इज वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग एंड देर आर टू मेन पॉइंट्स. The first paragraph of the purport, Prabhupada is explaining it is very difficult to understand the qualities of a person externally. We should not judge a person by external means. In the second paragraph of the purport, Prabhupada talks about the economy of a king, the treasury of a king. So first I'll be discussing the second part, then I'll go to the first part of the discussion. So Prabhupada is mentioning that King Prithu used to keep his treasury very secret. And that was the practice also I saw in my early childhood. Even in the family also no one knows, even the wife doesn't know how much husband is earning. That was the practice. And people used to keep money secretly because we need some fund in case of emergency. And when Sanatana Goswami also left his kingdom and joined Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also divided his earnings into three sections, three portions. 50% he gave to the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas for spreading Krishna consciousness. 25% he gave it to relatives. And 25% he kept for emergencies. So keeping money for emergencies is always a practice. But modern economy is that you get loan and invest. That is the modern economy. In the modern economy, the concept of saving is going away. And even if Prabhupada is telling, or to talk about individuals, even the government does not have enough money in the treasury. And I heard this, our West Bengal government has changed and they have huge loan. For to talk about having money in the bank, they have huge loan. So this is the practice of modern Kali Yuga government. But Prithu Maharaj was not like that. Nobody knew how much money he had, and he had also enough money as an emergency. When there is a need, it can be used for that purposes. So we should learn that we should divide the money. It's not whatever we get money, we just spend it. That is a practice in the modern age. If you don't have enough money, spend and loan. Get loan and spend. But that was not the practice at all in the early days. Whatever you have, you should manage your life like that. But because of our artificial lifestyle in the modern age. Everyone wants to maintain the status. And even if you don't have money, you borrow money and maintain the status. And because of that, family life is going through a lot of problems. And also, as a whole, the whole state, whole country is going through financial problems. And second thing is also that whole economy is also artificial economy. Prabhupada is telling that economy is determined by how much paper you have. Economy is judged by how many notes, currency notes. What's the value of these currency notes? No value. It's all artificial. The wealth of a country is determined by how many cows you have and how much gold you have. That was the quality of a rich man in the Vedic age. The real property was gold and cows and land. These are the wealth. But nowadays, that is not the wealth. How much you have paper? How much fixed deposits, how much share certificates, how much money you have in the bank, all artificial. And also when there is a crisis, what government does? He prints more currency notes. And because of that, inflation takes place and all the prices go up and people are in a precarious conditions. So whole thing is very artificial. So therefore, we have to think. That's why Prabhupada in Mayapur, he didn't want that artificial economy. But in Mayapur, with sadness, the same thing is prevailing in Mayapur also. It's called Mayapur. Artificial economy. So what to do? Kali's influence is there everywhere. But Prabhupada didn't want. Prabhupada wanted that our economy should be self-sufficient economy. We should not depend on outside. But now our leaders are thinking how to do that. But Prabhupada always envisioned the danger of artificial economy of the modern world. And Prabhupada wanted to revolutionize by setting an example in ISKCON and which model can be followed by the outside world. But we have not become successful in that area. So Prabhupada has given the guideline, now we have to work on it and try to make it successful. And Prabhupada is concluding that Varnasram Dharma is very, very important to establish that. So therefore, we have to take the mood of Srila Prabhupada and try to establish Varnasram Dharma and try to establish the society according to that teachings and guidelines. Second part is very important. It is about the qualities of Prithu Maharaj. And it is explained, just like a sea cannot be judged by its external. It is written, from outward appearances, the seas and oceans are devoid of life. But a person acquainted with the sea knows that within the water exist many varieties of life. So therefore, we should learn that a person cannot be judged by external features. And we have a tendency to judge externally. So one day, Mukunda was requesting Gadadhar Pandit to come to a place of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He was telling that one great Vaishnava has come, just go and meet him. So both of them came. So when Gadadhar Pandit saw Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he was dressing like very opulently, sleeping on a beautiful bed, people are fanning. So such a big opulence. And by seeing that, Gadadhar Pandit was confused that he has come to a wrong place or what. He could not understand what's going on. So he said that I have come to see a great Vaishnava, but this person looks like a materialistic person. And his confusion, he did not speak anything. But Mukunda could understand what's going on in the mind of Gadadhar Pandit. Then he recited a sloka from 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, explaining the mercy of Krishna. And as soon as he heard the sloka, Pundarik Vidyanidhi started exhibiting the love of Godhead, manifesting astrasattvic vikar, 8 symptoms of love of Godhead, and is rolling on the ground, throwing all the things, and mad rolling on the ground. And by seeing that, Gadadhar Pandit understood the position of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And he understood that he has done a great offense at the lotus feet of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Now what to do to rectify the situation? So when you offend someone, the simple rectification is to surrender unto him. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi, after exhibiting this quality, again he became normal. Then Gadadhar Pandit thought, my only rectification will be to surrender unto Pundarik Vidyanidhi and accept him as my spiritual master. So therefore, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Gadadhar Pandit accepted Pundarik Vidyanidhi as a spiritual master. So by this we can understand that if we try to judge a devotee, a person, by external features, many times we make mistakes. So therefore, we have to see through Shastra, we have to see through devotees. That's why we have to see, it's called Shastra Chakshus. Our vision should be spiritual vision. And therefore we should be guided by the devotees so that we can see spiritually. Spiritual vision can be given by the devotees who have spiritual vision. That's why it is said, in Kali Yuga it is very difficult to understand also who is God. And many people have become God in Kali Yuga. And who is real God, he is not accepted as God. That is the quality of Kali Yuga. How to talk about Kali Yuga? Even great people like Brahma, Indra, they also got confused about Krishna. How come Krishna is God? Because they have a concept of God. But Krishna is different kind of God. And he exhibits contradictory qualities. And because of that, it is very difficult to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is easy to accept Ramachandra as God. It is easy to accept Narayan as God. But to understand and accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very difficult. Because Krishna exhibits different contradictory qualities. Therefore, it is said, that avatar nahi kahe ami avatar, munisab jani kahe lokkhana vichar. Therefore, who is an avatar, incarnation, he does not claim that I am avatar. Avatar nahi kahe ami avatar, munisab jani kahe. The saintly person, munis, munisab jani kahe lokkhana vichar. By the symptoms, we can understand who is God and who can determine that muni. Those who are very expert in this subject matter, they can determine who is God. Therefore, we have to follow the Guru Parampara to understand who is God. But if we try to understand God by our own endeavor, we may also end up in mistakes, just like Lord Brahma and Indra tried to understand Krishna by his own intelligence. So therefore, it is very safe to be guided by the Vaishnavas and devotees to understand God. And Prabhupada, he has explained that Krishna is God is not because I am telling that's why he is God. It's not like that. Because ISKCON is telling, therefore we have to accept Krishna as God. So one person came from the western country to search for God, who is God. And he was traveling different parts of India and going to different temples. And saw different kinds of gods Because in Christianity there is one God, in Muslim there is one God, but in Hindu religion there are 33 crores gods. They are demigods, but they all think they are also God. Many gods. And in Kali Yuga, every day there is one new God added to the list. That's why Prabhupada said, in India there is a factory of God. And every day, one God is manufactured. So it's very difficult to know who is God. So one person came to search for God. And while he was leaving India, a reporter asked him, who is God? He said, Krishna is God. He said, why? You got a seminar, you had a seminar from ISKCON devotees or what? He said, it's not like that. The thing is that I went to different temples and saw in every temple the gods are doing something. When someone with two hands, four hands, six hands, which have some weapons, doing something, very active, very busy. And I thought, how a god can be so busy? Then how he can be God? He's very busy like us. So then I went to the temple of Krishna and saw that God, he is not doing anything. He is just simply playing on the flute and dancing with his girlfriends. Then I thought, this must be the God. So people have concepts of God. So Prabhupada said that to understand God, we have to know who can be God. Therefore, Parasar Muni has defined who can be God. Vaisarjasya samagrasya virjasya jasasriya jnana vairagyasya upasangnang bhagavitingana. A person who has these six opulences in full at a time. What is the six opulences? Vaisarjasya. Well, Vaisarjasya samagrasya virja means power. Jasaha, fame, beauty, knowledge and renunciation. If a person has these six opulences in full at the same time, that person should be accepted as God. So Prabhupada was giving class in Africa and he is telling, Krishna is black. Then all the devotees become very happy in Africa. They thought, oh, Krishna is like us, eh? Then he said, Krishna is black but not like you. The thing is that Krishna should not be understood, cannot be realized by the external features of this material world. His color also cannot be compared. But to give an idea that Krishna's color is like the color of a monsoon cloud, it doesn't mean that Krishna is like monsoon cloud. Just give an idea, a glimpse that how Krishna looks like. And someone may think, why Krishna is God? Because the thieves, they think Krishna is God because Krishna is the greatest thief. It's not like that. So, Krishna could not be accepted by these external features. Oh, why Krishna is God? Because he was dancing with so many girlfriends. That's why Krishna is God. So these are not the criteria to judge Krishna as God. So therefore, we have to judge Krishna as God if Krishna fulfills this criteria, that he exhibits these six opulences in full, which has been given by Parashar Muni. If Krishna fulfills this, then he can be accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, we try to analyze today, time is short, that how Krishna exhibited these six opulences. And therefore, Krishna is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So first is wealth. In Kali Yuga, the money is very attractive. Who has money is very popular in Kali Yuga. So wealth determines the popularity also. That's why in Bengal, they worship Lakshmi. And Lakshmi is the goddess of wealth, right? And they worship Lakshmiji, so that they get lot of wealth, because people are attracted to the wealth. But Brahma Sangita explains, Chinta mani prakara satmasu kalpa viksha laksha vitheshi suravi ravi paalayantam Lakshmi sahasra sata sambrahma sevyamanam Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. So this goddess of fortune, not one, Lakshmi Sahasra Sato, millions of Lakshmis, gopis, are in a line. We all stand in line also. So they are also, we are following the parampara of queuing, because that's there in the spiritual world. So people don't like to stand in the queue. But yet to enter into Vrindavan, you have to learn how to stand in the queue. But devotees don't like to stand in the queue, they want to be the, become the first. To get charanamrita, get prasadam, do abhishek, everywhere you want to be the first. But that is not the mood of Vrindavan. So Vrindavan, they are in line. Millions of gopis are in line. Why? They want to serve the lotus feet of Krishna. Lakshmi sahasra satasam brahma sevyamanam. They desire to serve the lotus feet of Krishna. So therefore, devotees are very intelligent. Je bhajese varo chatur. Those who are serving Krishna, they are the most intelligent people. Why? They say, I don't want any wealth. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitangva jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani janmani sare, bhavatat bhakti rahaiti kitai. My dear Krishna, I don't want any wealth. I just want your lotus feet. So if you get the lotus feet of Krishna, then you need any more wealth. Because all the wealth is there in the lotus feet of Krishna. So therefore devotees are the most intelligent people. So therefore they don't want anything of this material world. So by this verse and by this phenomena, we can understand that Krishna's lotus feet is the source of all wealth. So therefore Krishna is the reservoir of all wealth of the whole creation. Therefore he should be accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The first, Aisarjasya Samagrasya Birjaha, power. A person who is very powerful is very famous. So Krishna is the most powerful person. Generally, in the material world, we gain power by our practice. We do practice, weight lifting. And after doing so many years of practice, they can lift weight like that. And they can do only for 1 second, 2 seconds, then like this. But Krishna, we never saw that he has done some practice in the gym, right? He never practiced weight lifting. At the age of 7 years, he lifted Govardhan Hill. And to lift Govardhan Hill, he never used the strongest part of his body. He used the left hand, because left hand is the weaker hand. And he used the weakest finger, the small finger of the left hand, and he lifted Govardhan Hill. And while he was lifting, he was not doing like that. It's not like that, just simply like this. And he lifted not for 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 1 minute. He lifted for 7 days and 7 nights. And for that he never went to a gym to practice and make his muscle powerful. He never did like that. And by that we understand that Krishna is the source of all power. He is very powerful. And he killed Putana at a very early age. So by these different pastimes of Krishna, we can understand Krishna is the source of all power. He is the most powerful person. Vaisarjasya Samagrasya Birja Jasaha. Jasaha means fame. So Krishna is very famous. Just like a famous person can become famous for maybe 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, then people forget. But Krishna appeared 5000 years ago, till now Krishna is famous. It's not that ISKCON has made him famous, but people can give an argument that Prabhupada went to the Western world and made Krishna very famous. It's not like that. Krishna is always famous. The glory of Krishna's famous thing is that whatever Krishna does, it becomes famous. I'll give two examples. In this material world, if you steal, it's a very bad activity. And if you steal, then you get arrested. But Krishna, when he steals, he becomes, that stealing becomes the worshipable thing. He becomes Makanchor. And the other glory of Krishna's form as a thief is that other form is not worshipped specially, but this form of Krishna as a thief and bound by Mother Yashoda with the ropes is worshipped for 1 month in the month of Kartik. So such abominable activity in the material sense has become so glorious because Krishna has done it, and it is worshipped for 1 month. Special worship is done for 1 month, and because of that we can understand the fame of Krishna. Another thing, Krishna dances with the gopis. Not only one gopi. It is mentioned in Puranas, when Krishna was doing Rasalila, Satakoti gopi. Satakoti means 100 crores gopis were dancing with Krishna in Rasalila. So generally, if you dance with other's wife and have affair with other's wife, it is very abominable in the material point of view. But when Krishna dances with other's wives, it becomes very glorious. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most strict sannyasi, and nobody, no lady used to come nearby Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling, Aradhya Bhagavan Prajase Tanaya Tad Dhama Vrindavanam Ramma Katit Upasana Prajavadu Vargena Jakalpita. He is telling that our worshipable Lord is Krishna and Vrindavan. And not only Krishna and Vrindavan, that Krishna which is worshipped by the gopis of Vrindavan, that is the highest worship. So gopis' love for Krishna in Vrindavan is the highest worship, and it has been predicted, it has been judged, it has been given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was a very strict sannyasi. It's like contradictory. And if you analyze Krishna's character, generally before you marry, you may have many girlfriends, but you marry one as wife, right? But Krishna has 100 crores of gopis as girlfriends. But when he married also, he never married one. He married 16,108 wives. So morally, if you judge, it's very difficult to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if you become acquainted what is the quality of Krishna, because of this quality, that whatever Krishna does becomes glorious, because Krishna is the source of all glory. Therefore, whatever Krishna does is becoming famous. Not for 1 year, 2 years, millions of years, eternally he is famous. Therefore, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Vaishvajasya, Samagrasya, Virjasya, Jasya, Sriya. Now Sri, beauty. Beauty attracts. You get attracted by the beauty. A man is attracted by the beauty of a woman, and woman is attracted by the beauty of a man. That is natural in this world. So Krishna's beauty, if we analyze, then you can understand what type of beauty he had or he has. So generally, the most beautiful woman or girl in this world is called Miss World or Miss Universe. Very beautiful. And it is mentioned in the Puranas and other places that beauty of the girls in heavenly planets is much more superior than the beauty of the earthly planet. Million times more beautiful they are. Apsaras. And the beauty of the Lakshmis in Vaikuntha planets is much more superior to the beauty of Apsaras in heavenly planets. And beauties of the queens of Dwaraka is much more superior to the beauty of Lakshmis in Vaikuntha planets. And it is also mentioned the gopis of Vrindavan, their beauty is much more superior to the beauties of queens of Dwaraka. There are millions of gopis in Vrindavan. So out of that, 108 gopis are the principal gopis. And out of this 108, 8 are the most beautiful gopis. And out of this 8, there are 2 most beautiful gopis. And out of these 2, 1, Srimati Radharani is the most beautiful gopi in the whole creation. And this Radharani, once one gopi came and told Radharani, today I saw the beauty of the whole body of Krishna. Then Radharani told, "Oh, you are so fortunate that you have seen the whole body of Krishna, but I am very unfortunate. Why? Because I cannot see the whole body of Krishna, because as soon as I see one limb of Krishna, my eye is just stuck in that point and I cannot move my eye to other limb of Krishna. So such is the beauty of Krishna." What to talk about Srimati Radharani? Krishna himself is attracted by his beauty. While he was in Navabrindavan in Dwarka, he was moving and he saw a reflection on the pillar. And he saw, "Oh, such a beautiful form, who is this?" And he thought, this is his reflection. Then he said, "I am so beautiful, but I cannot experience the happiness of seeing that beauty. So I am Param Brahma Bhagavan, I should experience all the happiness. But Srimati Radharani is experiencing that beauty of mine, which I am deprived of. I must experience that beauty." So therefore, Krishna desired to experience his own beauty. Therefore, Krishna has come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to experience the beauty of Krishna. So Krishna has come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to experience his own beauty. Such is the beauty of Krishna. So therefore, Krishna is the most beautiful person in the whole creation. Therefore, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have covered Aisarjasya Samagrasya Virjasya Jasaha Sriya Jnana. Next is knowledge. So generally we are also attracted by a knowledgeable person. Oh, such a knowledgeable person, he is a PhD, he is this, he is that. But for us, we have to gain knowledge, spend time to gain knowledge. As soon as we are told to give Srimad Bhagavatam class, we need some advance notice. Because we have to prepare ourselves and make notes and what to say in the class. But Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. It is never mentioned that Krishna prepared himself to speak Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna is preparing the night before, "Oh, I have to speak to Arjuna tomorrow Bhagavad Gita, so I have to prepare myself." It's not like that. Whatever he spoke, that is Bhagavad Gita. Because he is the source of knowledge, he is the knowledge himself. He is the embodiment of knowledge. Why? Because a knowledgeable person is determined by his ability to know the past and future and the present. Only Krishna knows the past, present and future. Therefore, he told Arjuna, "Arjuna, Gotabas existed before, but you forgot. But I can remember." That is the difference between you and me. And that is the difference between a man and God. So I was reading a joke, one person sent me an SMS. "What is the difference between a man and God? A man gets, and forgets. That is man. And a God gives, and forgives. That is God." So therefore, Krishna, he knows past, present and future. So therefore, he is the source of all knowledge. He never forgets. But conditioned soul, living entity, always forgets. Why? Because we are tiny, minute, and he is the supreme whole. Because he is the source of past, present and future. Kala, time never affects him. And time is the servant of Krishna. Time is the energy of Krishna. We are influenced by time in this material world, that's why we forget. Why? Because time has three aspects, past, present and future. But if you analyze nicely in this material world, there is no present. There is no present in this material world. Material world, we have only future and past. And present is just a fraction of a moment or flash of a moment which transform the past, which transform the future into past. That's it. So therefore we are influenced by Kala, the time factor. Therefore we forget. But the spiritual world, there is no future, there is no past. There is only present. Why? Because every moment is engaged in the service of the Lord. Each and every moment is engaged in the service of the Lord. And Prabhupada explained also that we can also be free from the influence of time if we engage each and every moment of our life in the service of Krishna, then also time has no effect in our life. We also become eternal. So to achieve eternity, to achieve the spiritual bliss, to experience the spiritual life, we have to engage each and every moment of our life in the service of Krishna. And that is the secret. So therefore, Krishna is never influenced by time. Therefore, he never forgets. Therefore, he is the source of all knowledge. And the problem of us and that problem is that if we have some opulences, we become very attached and proud. But Krishna, having all these five opulences in full, he is not attached. And that's why the last quality of Krishna is renunciation. He is completely renounced. He had all these opulences, and he has all these opulences, but he is not attracted by these opulences. And he also exhibited that. While Yudhishthira Maharaj was performing Rajasya Yajna, so Krishna wanted to do two service. Generally those who are leaders, they want to manage and they become the boss. But Krishna is the boss of the whole universe and boss of the whole creation. But he undertook two services. What he did? When the devotees came, he took the service to take the slippers or shoes and used to keep in the shoe stand and washing the lotus feet. That was the first service Krishna has done. And second service was, after they took prasadam, they took their leaflets and cleaned the spot. These are the two services Krishna has done in the Rajasya Yajna of Yudhishthira Maharaj. And by that he exhibited the completeness of renunciation in his life. And second thing, he was driving the chariot of Arjuna. And in the battlefield, the chariot driver and the warrior cannot talk to each other because they are very busy. But warrior has to tell the chariot driver which side to go. But he cannot speak. So how to tell that? So Arjuna was using his leg. And if he kicks at the right hand side of Krishna, then he has to go right. If he kicks at the left, Krishna has to go left. And if he kicks in the middle, he has to go straight. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the God of the whole universe, is getting a kick from his devotees to render service to his pure devotees. By that he is exhibiting the completeness of renunciation. So, and because of that, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore we accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because of something not external. Because Krishna has fulfilled the requirements given by Parashar Muni in the definition of God, that he has all these six opulences, Vaisarjasya, Samagrasya, Virjasya, Jasya, Sriya, Jnana Vairagyasya, Iva Sangnam, Vaga, Itingana. So he has exhibited all these six opulences, wealth, power, fame, beauty, knowledge and renunciation in full in his pastimes in this material world. Therefore we accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, we also should accept Prithu Maharaj as the incarnation of God, not by his externals, by his qualities he exhibited in his life. And by these qualities that will be exhibited in Srimad Bhagavatam, so that we can understand and appreciate that Prithu Maharaj was not an ordinary person, he was the incarnation of God. And in that way, we should not be misled and we should be guided by Sadhu, Guru and Shastra. And Prabhupada has given on the guideline to understand who is a pure devotee of God and who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we cannot be misled if we strictly follow the principles of Prabhupada and his teachings. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki. So time is up, so time for darshan. If you have one question I can take, otherwise we'll end the class. They want to go. Okay, one question, that's it.
Prabhuji, you said that out of eight gopis, two are prominent and out of two, one is prominent, is Radharani. But we have Ashtasakhis, they are different. Other than Radharani, there are eight Sakhis. Chandravali is also not one of them.
So these eight gopis are the four gopis from Chandravali side, four gopis from Radharani's side. So these eight gopis, because in Goloka Vrindavan, there are two kinds of gopis. One type of gopis is led by Radharani another kind of gopis led by Chandravali. So this 8 means 4 from Chandravali side and 4 from Radharani's side. So out of these 8, 2 are most prominent, means Radharani and Chandravali. And out of these 2, Radharani is the most prominent. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveda Gaur Bhaktavinda ki jai, Nithai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bo.